Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Timely Progress Review conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star one on your telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Alyssa Ness. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. The topic for today's training is Timely Progress Reviews. First, we're going to look at the objectives of this session. Number one is to discuss Timely Progress Review fundamentals. Two, discuss how the Ticket to Work program impacts medical continuing disability reviews. Three, we will discuss TPR requirements. Four, describe the TPR process, including TPR appeals and reentries. Five, describe the service provider responsibilities in the TPR process. Six, we are going to discuss the TPR implementation schedule. And finally, seven will be identify the TPR resources available to service providers. Next. First, we're going to discuss Timely Progress Review fundamentals and continuing disability review protection. Next. What exactly is a timely progress review? A TPR is Social Security Administration's way of tracking the progress of a ticket holder under the Ticket to Work program. Essentially, SSA expects ticket holders to make progress towards financial independence while their tickets are in the in-use status. TPR is based on guidelines established by SSA through regulations that became effective in July of 2008. We will introduce the specific guidelines later in this session. In general, the TPM conducts a review at the end of approximately every 12 months of ticket in-use status to determine if bennies are making the expected progress. A TPR pass entitles the bennie to medical CDR protection, meaning essentially that disability benefits continue. Usually, CDR protection is granted to bennies involved in the Ticket to Work program who have tickets in assigned status and are making timely progress. However, very important here is that assignment, progress made by the bennie, or payment of services by or to the service provider does not always guarantee protection from a CDR. You must consider all aspects of in-use and non-in-use, including past TPR failures, successful TPR reentries, etc. Not next. As a service provider, it is important to fully understand and support the TPR process and to assist bennies not only in making timely progress, but also in providing, when asked, necessary information to the TPM or to you to verify that progress. In other words, service providers must be available to assist bennies through the entire TPR process. Next. What is a medical CDR? A medical CDR is a medical review the bennie must undergo in order to determine whether he or she is eligible to to continue receiving disability benefits. Initially, one of the biggest advantages of participating in the Ticket to Work program is that the Benny is protected from these reviews while the ticket is assigned. So prior to the first CPR review, as long as a ticket is assigned, CDR protection is granted for at least 12 months. This exemption will be renewed for about another 12 months if the Benny passes TPR, or at least another 12 months as long as the ticket remains assigned. Next. With TPR, if the requirements are not met, the ticket will remain assigned to the service provider. But the Benny is no longer protected from CDRs. The ticket status becomes not in use. Without a successful reentry, CDR protection is not renewed. As you can see, the CDR is not conducted as soon as the protection is lost. Rather, it is conducted when it would have been conducted if the Benny had not participated in the ticket program. Next, we're going to review the TPR requirements, which are sent with most TPR notices. Next. And next, here are the TPR requirements, again reflecting the 2008 regulations. These represent the work and education requirements which must be met at each level. 10% tolerances for earnings are acceptable in reviews 1 through 4. And 10% tolerances for education are acceptable in reviews 1 through 5. For example, the first review requires that a Benny completes 3 months of work at the trial work level, or receives a GED or high school diploma, or completes 60% of a full-time course load for an academic year in a college, or trade, technical, or vocational training program, or completes a combination of this work and education requirement. Questions regarding specific cases should be directed to your 800 number or the ticket helpline number. Next. Next, we are going to discuss the TPR process. Next. Here is a brief overview of the process, which will be explored in greater detail today. In step one, SSA checks the earnings records of those Bennies that were selected that month for TPR. If the earnings are sufficient, meaning that they meet the guidelines set forth by SSA, then no further actions are taken, and the Benny continues along the path of self-sufficiency, unaware that a check was even made. However, if the Benny's earnings are insufficient, then SSA contacts the Benny via mail, sending a TPR selection notice. Next. So if the earnings criteria are not met, SSA begins step two of the TPR process. We decide who should be selected for a TPR. Selection criteria are very complex, including factors such as current pay, CDR classification, assignment, and previous TPR history. So for step two, if the Benny is selected for a TPR, SSA sends the selection notice to the individual at the conclusion of about every 12 months of ticket in use status, or at least 12 months where the case had CDR protection and the case was assigned. This is to determine if the Benny is making the expected progress with work and or education. If the TPM receives the SSA 1375, which is part of the selection notice, from the Benny, and the time frames are acceptable, within about 55 days from the date of the notice, the TPM opens a work case and begins a review. And if you see the notices, actually the notices say that you basically have 30 days to return, the Benny has 30 days to return their answers for TPR to the TPM, but actually it's 55. Next. You can actually go to the end. This is actually an example of what the Benny received. This is the TPR selection notice actually for the first review period. So next. Okay, so this becomes really the last page of, again, what the Benny receives for if they're selected for TPR. This is actually an example of the TPR selection notice that is received by the Benny. The notice is tailored to the person, meaning that the review level, the review periods, the requirements, and all the questions are actually deal with that specific person that has been selected. Specific earnings amounts are listed, which allow for a 10% tolerance in reviews 1 through 4. And again, that's written directly on the notice so that the person doesn't have to think about what exact earnings they need to meet or whatever. It's actually written right there, including the tolerance. No mathematical calculations are required at all by the Benny. All notices give the Benny the 30 days from the notice date to respond, but again, our time frame is generally 55 days from the date of the notice in order to allow for mail time and also contract time. Next. So with a pass, CDR protection is extended. No letter is sent. In fact, the only time in the initial process did of a letter is sent. It's only sent with a failure, which will give the Benny due process. And along with passes, the next TPR will be in about 12 months of in-use status. In other words, with a pass, as long as the ticket remains assigned, CDR protection is extended for at least 12 months, and the next TPR will not occur for at least 12 months. Next. If a Benny fails TPR, the proposed failure notice is sent, giving an option to appeal. Benefits are not affected. So for cases not appealed, the Benny maintains CDR protection for about 55 days from the date of notice release. for cases that are appealed, CDR protection is maintained from the date of notice release through the entire appeal process. So unless the proposed failure decision is appealed and overturned, CDR protection ends at the conclusion of the appeal period. The Benny is taken out of in-use status, indicating that he or she is no longer under CDR protection. The individual at that point is subject to regularly scheduled CDRs once the final failure is effective. In other words, once the appeal period and the actual appeal, or both of them, are complete. No future TPRs are conducted without a successful reentry. That means if you fail, if you have a final failure, there are no more TPRs, again, unless you reenter TPR. Assignment and reassignment are not usually affected by a proposed or a final failure, but because of some systems limitations, the Benny must be in current pay. But actually, all the notices instruct the Benny to continue, even with a failure, to continue working with the service provider. Next. Now we will discuss appeals and reentry. Next. For appeals, the Benny has about 55 days from the date of the proposed failure notice to submit a request for appeal. The request must contain supporting documentation, unlike the initial review, which all that the Benny is required to do is check if they have made the met the requirement. But in order to appeal, and you'll see later for reentries, the Benny must submit documentation. Requests can be mailed or faxed to the TPM. SSA makes the final decision in appeals, and decision notices are released either pass/fail to the Benny. Next. After failing a TPR, evidence can be submitted at any time to show that the requirements of the review period have been met. The helpline, again, the 800 number, will instruct the Benny in exactly what needs to be done, what documentation needs to be sent in for reentries. Actually, reentry is a fairly hard concept here, and it's a very important concept, but I'm not going to really discuss any more other than what I just said and a little bit about if it is successful or not. If it is successful, the individual earns approximately 12 additional months of CDR protection, or at least 12 months as long as the case remains assigned in use. In-use status becomes effective with reentries the month and year of the decision. And in this case, a decision notice is released. Next. With TPR reentry failures, the Benny will still be not in use. In other words, they already were because it didn't pass CPR. And if you fail your reentry, you just remain not in use. There is a mail notification of the unsuccessful action, which SSA does send to the Benny. and the person has, in this case, in unsuccessful reentries, they have at least 30 days to appeal the decision. Next. At this point, we're going to discuss a little bit about the TPR implementation schedule and the status thus far. As you can see, TPR implementation began on March 19th with 100 cases selected nationwide. Because of the selection process, most selections have been from the Boston region and were VRs, from and where the ticket was assigned to a VR. At this point, no additional training dates have been decided. And currently, there is no TPR portal. In other words, TPRs cannot be passed by service providers. Portal training will be provided before we expect you to use it for any TPR activities. So at this point, it really is going to be up to the letters that are sent to the Bennies for them to respond and to send it to TPM, and of course for all service providers to help the Bennies in the activities. But there, again, there is no TPR portal, and we do plan, we will absolutely train you before we would expect any TPR activities to be used through the portal. Very important here, unlike in prior years, there is no opting out of TPR. Once the portal is working, we plan to discuss this entire issue about the fact that there is no need to opt out, and we will be discussing it in greater detail, but I just wanted to bring up that there is no opting out, that everyone will be participating, but you'll be able to see that you don't get emails about who is up for a TPR. It requires a lot. It requires you to go into when the portal's working, to go into the portal to find out who has been selected, and then at that point you would actually go in, or you could, and hopefully pass the person. But as far as opting out, if you decide, and again, we will discuss this at a later date with the training, no service provider honestly even has to do anything with TPR except for help the Benny. They don't really need to go into the portal and if they can, and try to pass the person, because it's really set up that the selection notices, which are sent to the Benny, and as long as the TPM receives them in timely, they are the ones that actually will go through and adjudicate the cases. As far as the future, what we plan to do, very soon, in fact, probably in early August, which obviously like in another few weeks or, you know, a month or so, as soon as we get through the 100 cases, which we basically are through, we do plan to make another or additional selections probably around another 200. We're trying to, like, start it slowly with only 100 and then soon with another 200 to see how things are working. So far, everything seems to be working fine, except for, again, the portal. Okay, next. It is very important that you understand your responsibilities to your clients. Next. You need to understand the TPR process so that you can explain the existence of TPR reviews and how they work. You should ensure that your ticket holders understand the steps in completing the TPR process. It is important that your bennies fully understand TPR and what the consequences are for not making timely progress. In fact, TPR should really be discussed during intake and upon signing of the IWP. You will also want to discuss the importance of providing timely information to the DPM or to you as part of the process. Additionally, bennies will often come to you with questions regarding TPR. This is especially true when TPR selection notices are received by your clients. If you are not able to accurately address the issues, you should contact the TPM. Finally, it is your responsibility to help your ticket holders re-enter the in-use status after a final TPR failure. And, of course, as I had said before, the ticket helpline, the 800 number, is there to also to help the bennies with the re-entry process. Next. Questions?
Okay. Thank you, Alyssa, for that. Before we open up the line for questions, let's see. John, can you help us out? Are there any questions from the chat?
Yeah, we've got an extensive list here, so I'll read some, and then we can open up the line, and then I'll finish off reading them. That way the people on the line get the chance to ask questions as well. Okay, so our first question comes from Eugenia Cox, who asks, when was the last time TPRs were conducted?
They were conducted about 3 years ago. There was a moratorium because we were migrating from Maximus's system to, we brought most of the work in-house into SSA. Between the system and sending up the selection process and sending up the notices. So it was about 3 years that we had a moratorium again to work out the different problems, whatever. And we started up in March with 100 cases, and we're starting slowly.
All right. And then she has a follow-up question. Is the percentage for passing the TPR still only 20%?
I can tell you that historically has been what we have found. But what I think we're finding more now is because SSA is actually using their system, we had a much better, and I'm going to say, access to earning systems much quicker than, let's say, Maximus had. So we have many more and much earlier. So, for instance, out of the 100 cases that were selected initially, there were, in addition to those 100 cases with, you know, ones that have passed, and we still haven't gone through the entire appeal process on 60 of those cases, we had 25 what we call administrative passes in addition to the 100, which basically they passed TPR without even getting a notice. So I think what we will probably find, and I'm just saying, we think, because we do have, again, we have a lot of the earnings databases available to us, I think that we're probably going to find a lot more cases that are able to pass because of earnings than what we saw before.
All right. And then our next question comes from Sherman Gifford, who asks, If a TPR results in a case being labeled as not in use, but the client does earn above SGA for 9 months, will the entire period of VR services still be eligible for cost reimbursement?
Okay, I have to tell you, I truly don't, I'm not as familiar as really with payments, but I can tell you, okay, it does not matter, for instance, with TPR. Somebody could have failed 3 years ago and had a failure flag on there. It doesn't matter whether we still consider that person as failing TPR. They could be pulled for a CDR, and it doesn't matter. They could be making progress. They could have their ticket assigned, anything. They could be getting paid by SSA for cost reimbursement, whatever, if they normally would. None of that matters as far as TPR is concerned. I mean, the thing with TPR is that we're really only considering if you fail TPR, then you can be called for a medical CDR, which means that if you fail the medical CDR, then you can lose your benefits. It really does not have anything to do per se with payments again to the service providers.
All right, and I think that's going to answer quite a few questions, so I'll try and skip any question that basically answers. We have another question from Sherman Gifford, who asks, will the rules be different for transition age youth? Many students may sign plans while still in high school and may not graduate for several years.
Okay. At the moment, everybody, it doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter anything. These are what you saw in one of the slides. That's actually what the requirements are at each level. We know that there are some issues with transitioning youth, and I think that I can say that we're probably looking into that. And see if probably or if possibly we could, like, you know, change some of the requirements. And we actually have been looking at a lot of that. But for right now, I have to tell you, the way that it's in the regs, the way the system was set up, the way that TPR works, all of the notices, it does not matter age. All that really matters is what level, if you're on the disability rolls, if you're selected, it matters how long your ticket was assigned. That pretty much determines, like, what level you're at. But again, it's not, and I do know what you're saying, but it does not really matter at this point how old you are as far as requirements. But we're looking at it.
All right. And then, so we have another follow-up question from Eugenia, who asks, since TPRs have not been completed for the last 3 or 4 years, and many beneficiaries haven't seen a TPR before, is the process going to start at the beginning, year one, or will beneficiaries get a TPR based on when they originally started using their ticket?
Okay. The way that we figure out review level, in general, okay, I will say that it's based on how long your ticket has been assigned. That will pretty much determine, and then we divide it by 12. That pretty much tells you which review level you were at. But one thing, the way that the system was set up, let's say that they had a TPR before and it was valid, everything was fine. Let's say, I don't know, they were at 3, and they were at review level 3, and they passed, and it comes time they're selected again, and I'm just saying, let's say it's 4 years later after the 3. Okay, no, they're not going to 7. The way that the system is worked out, even though you would divide it with assignment, you could go to 7. The way that it is that you can only go one higher than what you already passed at. So at the most, you could go to 4. You could also go to 3 if something had been done incorrectly, or you could go backwards to like 2 or 1 if something was not done right. But we set it up so that you will never go more than 1, than your whatever review level you passed plus 1. That would be the highest that you would go to if you had one before.
Okay. Thanks, John. Let's switch over and see if there's any questions in the queue. Tana, could you help us out with those?
Yes, thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll go first with Susan Webb with Ability 360.
Hi, everybody. Since we haven't been doing the TPR reviews, and you've only done 100 of them, does that mean that all of the people that have had their tickets assigned all this time and maybe were not making timely progress, they've still been exempt from reviews? From CPR reviews, I mean.
They have been exempt is because we haven't been making them. Now, what we have found in a lot of cases is that because a lot of the people failed 3, 4, 5 years ago, and for whatever reason, it's because of the way CDRs are pulled. A lot of them, even though they failed like 3 and 4 years ago, are being pulled right now for CDRs. But yes, nobody received a TPR review in the past 3 years.
But were they still, even if they didn't get a review though, and they weren't making timely progress, but their ticket was assigned, were they protected from CDRs during that time?
If their ticket was assigned and they had not failed, if they did not have a failure flag on their record, let's say they never failed before, and either they hadn't had a TPR or they had passed TPR, yes, the answer is yes, they had CDR protection.
Okay, and then my other question is that if they get a review now, a TPR review now, and for the period that you review, they were not making TPR, but now they are, is that going to be a valid appeal so that they will keep their CDR protections? We found that to be the case, that we've had that happen.
I'm not sure what you mean. Say it again.
Okay. Well, you do a TPR for a certain period, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. And then when you actually do the review for the period that you review, they did not make timely progress. But by the time the review is determined and that they weren't making it, now the time frame that they're in now, they are making it. So would that be an automatic, you know, okay, we're not going to stop CDRs because now you are, even though the time we reviewed you were not?
No. Okay, if I understand correctly, the review period is for 12 months. It can, believe me, be for a lot more than that. But we review based on a certain time period. So we're looking at what's going on during that time period. Honestly, we're not looking at, even though during, and it really is, I mean, it's in real time. It isn't like we decide, okay, I think we'll review, you know, from like 2 years ago or something like that.
Okay.
We would review the time period would be exactly right now what's going on.
Okay, I gotcha. I misunderstood that. And then just one other comment I want to make, and that is that the ENs can, of course, be very helpful in this process. But when we're not notified that a TPR is going on, we don't know that they got the letter, so we really can't help them. And what's happening is we find that they're just ignoring them, and the ticket user is not sending them back and therefore fails when they shouldn't have. Is there something you're going to do in the future to start letting – you used to let us know years ago, but are you going to start doing that again so that we know what's going on and we can facilitate that process?
Well, okay, as soon as, I mean, I hate to say, you know, look at the portal, because I keep saying, you know, there is no TPR portal, and we haven't given training on that yet. But as soon as we have this, you certainly can call that ticket helpline to find out, you know, if somebody would tell you something or ask you questions, and you could find out from them about the status. But as soon as you have the portal, I mean, you would know everything. You or the service provider could go in there. You could hopefully, besides you're helping the Benny, they could pass the Benny. They would, okay, you're not going to get emails anymore saying, okay, we've selected this person. What's going to happen is you'll be able to go in there and see exactly what the status is, that it's pending, or, you know, or they failed or whatever.
Well, that's
but that will all be on the portal.
And so you're getting to a point, if I'm understanding you correctly, you want to get to a point where everybody's going to get a TPR.
Yes.
And so it would. So
yes,
it would be
all
worth our while.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead. All
ticket holders would hopefully have TPRs. There are reasons, like when I was saying that the selection process is really involved. I mean, we do not, for instance, we don't do TPRs on mines or medical improvement not expected. There are other things in other CDR instances that we don't, you're not really going to have to see TPR. So there are reasons not to do it. But in general, I'm going to say in general, we would say that all ticket holders will have one.
Okay. Okay, that's it. Thanks for the answers.
You're welcome.
And next we'll go to Eugenia Cox of State of Oregon.
Hi, this is Eugenia Cox. My question is that I want to try to understand what time frame you'll be sending these tickets out. So if a person started using their ticket 5 years ago with another state VR agency, and then they stopped using it 2 or 3 years in, and then they come to us, the other Oregon VR, and they sign a plan, and a month later, they've never received a TPR before, and a month later, they're going to get what year TPR, and from what period is that going to start?
Okay. You're saying they've never received one before?
They've never received one before.
Let's just say it was
4 years ago.
Okay. All right. If they've never received one, again, if we've got like these mathematical calculations to figure out, that's the review period. That's what we call the review period. If they've never had one before, then really what we do is we go in and we decide, you count up the number of in-use months and you divide by 12. Basically, that's the way that we figure it out. And based on that, because we don't want unassigned months, and we don't care at the moment, or we don't care at that point who we ever assigned to, they will count. That's how we figure out how many, you know, and if it turns out to be two or whatever, then because a lot of those months, let's say, weren't assigned, then they will be in the second review or review level. And as far as, and honestly, in a way, this is better because the way that I keep saying, well, it's about 12. I don't usually use the word 12 because a lot of times it's about 12, especially in a case like this. We would go back to like the very beginning of when they first assigned, and we actually use the whole time because it's all in the Benny's, even for unassigned months. So again, I'm really making this up, but let's say they're in the second review, but there's really like 4 years stuck in there where, you know, two of the years they were assigned somewhere and two of the years they don't. Your review period is really going to be for 4 years. So they get 4 years. And again, this is when the form to meet these requirements.
Okay, so if they were working with somebody 4 years ago, and they work with them for 2 years there, and there's been no reviews at all, and they never received a review at all.
Okay.
Are they going to get the third year review, or it's because they've never received a review, are they going to get the second year review?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on how many in-use months we're talking about. If it turns out, if the mathematical calculation, based on what you're saying, I think that it's probably going to be the third. And again, I'm not really calculating it. But between the 2 years truly assigned, and then now you have another, I don't know, then you weren't assigned for like a year, and then now you're assigned to a different EN, let's say, for 12 months. Okay, basically, and you never had a review before, that's probably the third review, except that what we would end up counting also in addition to the year, this current year that you're assigned to the current service provider, will also include the 2 years in 4 years ago or whatever it is, and also the year when it wasn't assigned.
Yeah, and the reason I'm asking this is because what's going to tend to happen, because I've been doing this many years, is we would get somebody that would had just gone into plan with us. And all of a sudden they get a third year review. We have no idea what they did those first two years because it was with somebody else. And the period you were asking for, they weren't working with anybody at all. So the majority of the people that we were responding to, because we never opted out, there was no activity in the year you were asking for. So the majority of the people failed. And we hadn't had them long enough.
Right. Now, I have to say, this is different the way that we're doing it now from what we did before. This, to me, is actually a lot more, I would say, beneficial to the Benny. I mean, we would be including, like, time when you're not even assigned. I mean, you know, you would have a lot of time, or the Benny would have a lot of time. You're right, I'm not 100% sure that you, as the second service provider, would know specifically what happened during the first 2 years or during that year when it wasn't assigned to anybody. But, I mean, again, remember, this form goes to the Benny, and it gives the Benny basically 4 years to come up with, I mean, in some cases, with the first, in this case, the third, I mean, to come up with these requirements or to meet these requirements, they have basically 4 years to come up with them.
Yeah,
we did
You're asking them for a time frame that they weren't doing anything. So they come into us, and all of the ENs and the VRs are put in a situation where we have to respond no, because nothing happened in those years. If you're saying it's a year that's closer to when we're serving them versus 4 years before, and they were never working with anybody, you know, they're ultra confused. They're going to come to the EN, they're going to come to the state VR agency to respond, and we're going to have to say no because there was nothing happening during the previous year.
Okay, I do understand what you mean. I still feel that we definitely did not do this before for the Benny. We did not give them all this time. I do know what you mean. You also have to have, in other words, this person would, in 4 years, had never even been selected for, and this would have been a time when we did do TPRs, was not even selected for TPR, because again, remember, a lot of these people, a lot of them had TPRs before, which means that even though we did not do anything for like 3 years, we didn't have these. The most, if you had one before, I don't care how long you were assigned or who you were assigned to, if you passed one, if you did pass if you failed, you're out of the you're out of it totally. But if you passed, it's only going to go up your review level by at the most one, regardless of how long anything was assigned.
Okay, and then you said that we are not, in the past we had been getting notifications. I think Susan had said we had all gotten notifications that there were TPRs pending.
Right.
And when you're a state VR agency and you've got thousands of people assigned to you, are you saying that we have to individually go in and look at every ticket that's in use with us to see if there's any TPRs pending?
No, there will be, and again, I don't like to, you'll be able to do it on the portal, and on the portal, you'll be able to tell the status of, like, what's pending, what isn't pending, what has been, you know, finally failed, or, you know, or whatever you want to call it. You will know from that. But instead, now, instead of this stuff, instead of things coming to you as a, as an email, the way that it did before, you would actually have to go. That's why I was saying the thing about opting in and not opting in. Mm-hmm. There won't be any need because you wouldn't really be getting any of that. You would actually have to go in and you'll see like a table about what's pending, what isn't pending. And really your job, I mean, in addition to helping the person, would be hopefully to go in and to maybe pass the penny.
Yeah. And we have to respond also with the beneficiary. So, and again, we're talking thousands and thousands of people. And we don't know the volume that it's going to hit. So, you know, we're all wondering, are we going to get 1,000 of them at once? Are you going to do them in small portions? Are you going to send out a big wave of TPRs? We don't have a clue how this is going to roll out.
No, it's for right now, I wouldn't even think about that. We are nowhere near ready for any of the for thousands, believe me. We're still at the, and again, even though it's only 100, then 200, I mean, this is a live process. This is not like a test or a pilot or, you know, you fail TPR. And people have failed. They're not in use anymore, so they can be selected for a CDR. So I want you to realize that it is for real, but we're not going for thousands at this point.
Well, I appreciate that, and can we ask, if you can go back in the queue, Eugenia, we're going to see if we have any other questions in queue.
Thank you. We'll go next to Sherman Gifford with the Choice Group.
Hello. Actually, this is David Leon with Virginia Dars. I wanted to clarify a question because I was getting confused related to what Eugenia just asked, and it's a yes or no question. Is the current EN or state VR responsible to respond to a TPR date based on a date range outside of that current in use or assignment date?
It could be. No, I'm going to say yes. The only thing is that remember, at this point, the VREN, whatever, you really, except for trying to help the actual Benny, the form, the actual selection form, which means that, like checking, I worked and I did this or I went to school, it's going to the Benny. So they are the primary ones receiving this TPR and going through the TPR, even though you're helping them. It's not going to be until that the portal is open for TPR that you'll actually be able to go in there and do something. I mean, I shouldn't say constructive because very, very important to help each Benny, but you won't be able to really pass anybody until you can do the portal. But yes, it is true what you're saying that honestly, what we do, we include, it's possible, I'm not going to say it, that it's going to always happen, but it's possible that a review period could take you could end up having not only periods assigned to you, but they could be assigned to somebody else, and they could be periods when it's assigned to nobody, because we cannot, in other words, we have to count progress regardless for the Benny, regardless of whether it's assigned or not assigned. It's a period. We don't care. In other words, if you're working at SDA and you don't have your ticket assigned, we're still going to count it, the progress. But again, remember, this is really up to the Benny to do this and to come up with the answers to these questions.
So you've said that this is our responsibility to assist. You've also said it is up to the beneficiary to complete this form. What are the consequences for a state VR agency if, due to the volume, we are unable to find staff to assist with, in our case, almost 5,500 potential TPR requests?
Okay, that's the thing that we will cover more in the portal training, because in the portal training is when we're really going to discuss, I mean, besides her, like, assisting the person, I mean, at that point, when we say portal training, we're talking about, and you're using the portal, you can actually go in for each individual case that is selected and possibly pass the person. I mean, in other words, Maximus doesn't have to do it. But we also understand the problem with the fact that it can be an increased workload with doing this. So it's really going to be up to you all as an individual VR as far as how much you want to do in the area of TPR. We're not going to say that you can opt out, but there really is not a reason to opt out, because besides for helping each individual person with their forms, I mean, again, they have to do the checking of their forms, so as long as they understand, hopefully they can understand that. If, let's say, I'm just saying, and we're going to cover it in portal training, if you decide, let's say you have 5,500 and you don't have the staff to do it, well, at worst, I can tell you that we certainly would hope that you would still go into the portal. But, I mean, in reality, the way that the system is set up, if you don't pass a person in the portal, then as long as the Maximus, the TPM, receives the form in the time frames from the Benny, they go ahead and they adjudicate the form. It would not matter what you did or didn't do.
Thank you.
But this, okay, and honestly, this will be covered in a lot greater detail when we do portal training. At this point, except for helping the person, you honestly, no service provider has the responsibility of going in and passing anyone, because there's nothing to pass them on.
Okay. Thank you for that question. Do we have other questions in queue, Hannah?
As a reminder, that is star one. No questions in queue.
Okay, I know we still have some on the chat. Sean?
Yeah, so before I continue reading the questions in order, we've had a question that's come up a lot in the chat, and it's, when is the portal training going to happen?
Okay, at this point, there is no date. Honestly, we are having some issues systems-wise with the portal, so until we know that that portal is working, we're not having any kind of training, because we certainly, don't want you to use the portal at this point. Basically, without the portal, I can tell you it's the way that it used to be with Maximus actually adjudicating the cases, with the Benny sending in the selection notices with their answers to Maximus, who then adjudicates. So we sort of went back to that without a portal. But again, no definite date for the portal training, because we need to make some systems adjustments, and I don't even have a foreseeable future date of training.
All right. And then our next question was actually asked while you were presenting on this slide that I've just put up, the TPR reentry slide. And the question was, is that 12 months from the date of reentry, or is it 12 months from the original timeline?
The effective date is actually, no, it's when, it's when Maximus makes the reentry, decision in ITOPS in the system. That's when it goes from.
All right. And then our next question is, how can an EN find a failed TPR history for a ticket holder?
How can they find a failed TPR?
Yes. I believe they want to know it before they're assigning a ticket holder whether or not they failed TPR.
If somebody failed, okay, I am not 100% sure what you have available, but actually that's not a bad question, because what we have found, I can assure you that these people are signing tickets to service providers, and these Bennies have failed years before, and they are not telling the new service provider. What ends up happening is that, I can tell you through SSA, is that when you fail a TPR and you're taken out of in use, you are put, you get what we call a failure flag on our named disability system here. So it's very easy for us to see, because this flag is on the system. And again, it does not matter what happens. I mean, you could be paying money to this person, or you could be sending the school, I should say, or you could be getting money from SSA. The person could be making progress. They were assigned to you, whatever. And we tell them to be assigned. We encourage that to help the person to hopefully reenter. But a lot of times what ends up happening, they failed years ago, they have this flag on the system of failure, and they're selected for a CDR at that point. I'm not sure, I know how we can do it. I'm not sure that what you have access to, if you would have access to, in fact, I have a feeling you don't, to our main systems.
But I'm curious, Alyssa, is there a negative impact to the service providers if there is a failed TPR for the ticket holder? I'm wondering if that's maybe what they're also trying to figure out.
Is there? No. In other words, okay, no. To us, we realize that, okay, there is there is the failed flag on the system. But, I mean, to you all, I mean, I would say that, and again, we encourage the person, even if you have it, even if, let's say the Benny understands enough to and remembers that three years ago I failed TPR, and they probably don't know it in terms of failed flag, but they failed TPR. But we encourage them, you know something? No, you're not going to get a TPR until you reenter, but we want you to work with the service provider, failed or not failed, because hopefully that'll help you to be able to make progress and pass and reenter at some point. I hope that answers. And if you have specific questions, I mean, you certainly can call the 800 number or the TPR, the help desk, and we all can certainly find out about the flags. But Adele is right. I mean, no, there isn't really a negative impact of working with someone that has failed. I mean, again, every single notice tells the Benny that they should be working, or we encourage them to work with a service provider, regardless of the failure. Actually, if there is any kind of like problem or question, actually the slide that's up there right now, you can actually contact the TPM right at that address, then they can help you if you would have any kinds of questions with this or with, you know, with failure or whatever.
John, do we have more chat questions? Well, we wait for John. Hannah, are there any in the queue?
Yes, we will go next to Teresa Ellinger with Employment Options.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I didn't know if you could hear me. How is everybody? Great presentation. I do have a question, though, because I'm way back. I've been with this program for 11 and a half years, so TPR has changed, as I'm hearing. So with that example that you've been bouncing back and forth, somebody that was assigned 3 years ago and then stopped for a couple of years and now they're coming to us, when can we expect, I can figure out which one they're on, either the first review, second or third, but when does the 12-month begin for the second ticket assignment, like the EN or VR? Would it still be the month, the first ticket assignment, or not?
Okay, wait a minute. If we're talking about another ticket, literally like ticket number two, we start over again.
No, I'm not talking about ticket number two. I'm talking, let's say a ticket was assigned to an employment network 4 years ago, and their first ticket, it was assigned in December. Okay, they disassign, now they're coming to us, and let's say we assign them in June. When would the 12-month period begin? Would it be the December on the first ticket assignment, or would it start over as June for the second ticket assignment?
Okay, it depends if they have ever had a TPR before. I mean, honestly, it just depends on that. And if they did, it depends on what the months were of that TPR, of the other TPR that they passed. I mean, remember, if they passed sometime in the past, then we would use those months. We would use anything beyond whenever they passed, and we would have.
Is it a moving window? If I've assigned my ticket in January and unassigned it in July, and so those are months in use.
Yes.
And does it mean I unassign and then assign it again in January? Do those months?
Yes.
So it's only when I've assigned my ticket, when it's in use.
That's a big difference from this time. We use all months. We use unassigned months, assigned months, everything. That's what will be used. It's not going to be used as far as if we go to figure out, like, the actual review level. To figure out the review level, if you've never had a TPR before, that you will only use assigned months. But in order, and like maybe you'll come up with review level two, those will be required. That will be, you need to meet those requirements. But you're actually allowed to use months during that time, those would be your dates. You would actually have dates that include times when it's not assigned, because, and also times when it not only was assigned to your service, but to your VREN, but also to past ones. If that, again, it depends on if it's never been passed before. I think it's easier to figure this out if you have a pass already before, because then it's only going up by one at the most. But I mean, in this case, because we haven't done it in the 3 years, yes, we do include, the dates will include, it'll go all the way back to the beginning to when it was assigned to somebody else, and it will include the somebody else, when it was assigned to somebody else, when it was assigned to nobody, and then also when it was assigned to you. And even though it looks like it's, I'm just going to say, even though it looks like it's 5 years, it's not going to be that. You may only be in review level two, because it was really only assigned for 2 years.
So I could safely say the 12-month review would begin at the first ticket assignment month, which would be December in this
yes.
case?
Yes.
And in use and not in use would be determined by the status of in use of the ticket on which one they're at, correct?
Yes. As far as, yes, the in-use, not-in-use, right, is determined at the very end. Like, you must be in-use to be pulled and incurring pay to be selected.
And I got one more question. Say I have a ticket holder that was assigned to us in October 2013. You guys stopped doing TPRs as of that time, 2014 and onward until recently. Now, would that ticket holder actually be in the fourth TPR review, or would you just do the first one? Or if they've been with us the entire time and their ticket is in use, that I answered my own question.
Okay. Yes, and they never had, right, and they were never selected before. Yes, you figure out the number of months, and then you divide by 12 assigned, and that'll give you your review level.
Okay. And what if it comes out to, say, 30 months? Would that be the third year review with 6 months left over? Do you round up? Do you just
drop
6 months off?
We drop anything. After you divide by 12, you drop the remainder.
Okay. I think I have it. Thank you.
And we'll go next to Peter Mead with Career Connect.
Hi, folks. Thanks for doing this call. Very useful. Self-employment is always kind of a messy situation. I have a couple of self-employed people who their ticket assignment date is in the middle of the year. And so it seems like this person has to actually have 2 years of 1040s before they can complete their first TPR. Like, you could have a person who has 6 months on one calendar year on a 1040. SSA looks at that and says, well, the average was below trial work level. You didn't get any trial work months then. And then but then there's six more months. And so they've got to wait till the next year's 1040 comes out to look at that. Is that correct? How do you conduct a TPR for self-employed people when they are not on a straight calendar year? As a matter of fact, they're offset.
Okay. You know something? I have to tell you the truth. I did not. I know that we have certain a protocol for self-employment, and what we're looking for, we're not always looking for, I think we even look for the number of hours that they're working. I honestly have to tell you the truth. I didn't look at it, and I don't have it here. would you want us to get back to you about self-employment? Because that, for real, we do, when we do a review, when Maximus, or if it comes in as an appeal, whatever, we have certain criteria that we look at for self-employment. And again, I think it's not only like money, let's say, it also has to do with hours and things like that. But again, I didn't real honestly, I haven't looked at it in a long time, and I don't have it here. Can we get back to you about that, or?
Please do, yes.
Okay.
Thank you, yes.
That's information. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
And we'll go next to Eugenia Cox.
Hi. Going back to that question you asked about how they're determining whether somebody's ticket is or their TPR passed or failed, I think I got the impression they just wanted to know how to do that in the portal. And you didn't show anybody that, but if you want to go in to find whether somebody has passed or failed the last TPR, if they had one, you just go to the main menu and go to the list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me. You go in and you put the assignment date. I think you can only go a year. And you put in the start date and the end date. Or you choose to search by name. And you unclick the box that says include any pending TPRs, because there aren't any. And you choose the payment method, whether you use milestone outcome, VR cost reimbursement. And you just click go. And right next to the person's name on the list, there's a button called Action. You click on the button, and it says TPR status for this individual. And that'll tell you exactly what their current status is. So you can check their status. You just can't do a TPR on somebody.
Right. You cannot do anything. And honestly, yeah. I will tell you the truth. Maybe Katie may want to say something about this, but I will tell you, because we have not trained anyone on the TPR portal, what I've been saying, and it's in everything that I'm, you know, all my notes, everything, is that we don't expect you all to do anything, including finding status, certainly not passing anyone, doing nothing on the portal dealing with TPR, because
yes,
we have never trained
know whether they still have. Yeah, but people want to know whether they still have protection, and all of the people on this call should have access to the portal, and you can go in right now and you can check somebody's TPR status. If that ticket is assigned to you currently, you can go in and check their status. And that may be a question of whether you've served the individual, or whether somebody comes in and says, I want protection from medical review, an EN or a VR can actually look in the portal to see what the status is and if they still have protection. This is just basic.
Katie, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is it okay? Katie can respond to this because, again, I did not want to ever say you should do A, B, or C to do this TPR activity because we have never provided any kind of portal training, so I did not, my line has always been for any kind of TPR activities at all, we're not using the portal for that. But is it okay to say to do it for, to look at, it's up to you, Katie.
Yeah, well, the question I actually heard, which is why I didn't chime in, is the question I believe was, before you assign a ticket, can you tell if they fail TPR? And that is not something you can see on the portal when you're checking assignability. It doesn't tell you if they've already failed. Eugenia, you are right. For beneficiaries you currently have, you can see on the screen what we have in our system for their TPR status. But I wouldn't go any further than that. We have not been leading you to the portal to look at that information because the portal does show you options for things that you would think you can do, like pass the beneficiary or respond to a TPR. that functionality is not working properly, so we haven't been giving you direction to look anything up in the portal or to check the portal, like Alyssa's saying, for the status, because we were afraid that telling you to go there and check that information would then lead you to follow the path in the portal, which, even though it's not working properly, we haven't turned it off. So we didn't want people to go to functionality and potentially go try other things that would then cause a problem in the system and potentially have a negative impact.
Well,
so
I usually use it.
You can see that.
Yeah.
We just didn't want to, stress the portal. Right. But we just didn't, like I said, Elizabeth was saying, we just didn't want to stress that as, but you can go in the portal and check this, because we are trying not to emphasize the portal as a place to go for that.
And usually what happens with us is somebody gets a CDR in the mail and they said, shouldn't I have protection? I go in and I look at all the tickets currently assigned to me. I pull their name up and it tells me that they failed 4 years ago. So that's what I'm using it for. If somebody gets a CDR, and I can actually go in and see their status, and it's always been correct. These are the tickets that are currently assigned to me.
Now, I have to say, okay, we do not look like when you're saying the thing about when somebody asks the question about did you fail like 5 years ago and therefore should I, you know, the service provider was asking should they assign this person. I mean, our answer is, you know, because we encourage the person to go and find and to assign with the service provider regardless of whether they passed or failed. We don't go to the portal, I can tell you that, to find out if you failed TPR. With the failure flag comes from the main disability system that we have here. And if anybody would ever have a question with that, not with a thing really of what Eugenie is talking about, in other words, if something's pending or whatever, with the other, you certainly can call Maximus and they can help you, or I can also help them as far as like getting to that. But we don't want to tell you don't assign if somebody's failed, because that certainly is not what we want to say or what we what any notice ever.
No, any VREN is only going to look it up when somebody gets a CDR and they think they have protection. So these are tickets that are going to be assigned. And instead of trying to call, you can actually go in. If the ticket is currently assigned to you, you can look at the status. And Katie, are you saying that those statuses are incorrect if the ticket's assigned to you?
No, I'm saying the statuses are correct. We just have not been leading people to the portal to check that, because the portal will then allow you to take additional actions if they're, like, for instance, we just selected 100 beneficiaries recently, and the portal, if you had checked for those specific 100, you would have seen the option to respond to those TPRs. We were not making
that
an option for the TPR selections to go do that. That's
I'm just talking about the status.
The portal working.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just talking about the status for when anybody comes in and says, hey, I got a CDR. Why? And, you know, and the EN or the VR agency needs to, you know, look really quick to get the status. You can go in and get the status on those tickets that are assigned to you.
Okay.
When she said you have to call to do that.
It's 2 minutes after our call time. Are there any additional questions in the queue, Hannah?
No further questions.
John, I think you have something from the chat.
Yeah, we just have most questions have been answered in some way or another. So we just have a couple outstanding questions. Several people have asked regarding tickets or TPR failures from several years ago, if there's a different process, or how can an individual who's failed a TPR many years ago get reinstated?
Okay. That one, okay, the way that you do that, that's the, it's called the reentry process. That's exactly what you do. The person, again, it's you, the service provider certainly should be helping, but the Benny would call the 800 number, Maximus, and they will provide them with the steps of how to reenter. They will also provide them with exactly what they need. Like, for instance, okay, you need, they'll actually say you need 9 months at SGA or, you know, or a certain, or whatever, education, whatever. They will be able to instruct the Benny with exactly what is needed to reenter.
Okay. Was there another question, John?
No, I think that covers all of the questions that we have in the chat.
Okay. Again, we do realize it's actually 4 past our call time. We appreciate everybody's time and patience and their participation, and we wish you a great rest of the day. Do recall that on, we did display the TPR email so that you can send any questions that weren't addressed or that you come up with others. Again, have a great rest of the day.
And that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.